Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Pitch Invasion, the podcast for all football tribalists in all shapes and sizes. And every week we try and tell it as it is about African and, of course, European football. My name is Lwazi Zikubu.
And I'm Xolo Magwaza, coming in at you like Zidane on Materazzi, flying in and hoping to give you some meaty information and some good topical points to discuss on the show. And, of course, we're joined in by the great Amika.
Hey, thanks everyone out there. This is Emeka Inyadike, and as always, I'm here to muddy the waters.
He's going to be trying to muddy the waters, but he's in a very good mood. His team won and won really well over the weekend. And we start with the Premier League first round, the opening weekend of the 2018-2019 campaign. And we're going to start with giving some scores to the teams. We've got an Arsenal and Liverpool fan here, so we're going to start with the Arsenal. Give us out of 10.
Alphabetical order.
No, it's from terrible to good. So give us out of 10.
You know, before the first week, us now were on top of the table. Where are they now, please?
Calm down.
Only week one.
Okay, out of 10.
Yes.
C plus, I'd say 55%.
So six, 5.5 out of 10?
5.5.
Based on?
You know, look, guys, we were playing the defending champions. That's never going to be easy. Mm. And, you know, hats off to City. I know everybody, every time a team loses, you know, especially, you know, we could have gone down by four, but I mean, you also have to take your hats off to the way City played. Yeah. And listen, if France had played City on Sunday, right, if that was the World Cup final, City taking the trophy home, because that's how good they were. I mean, there was no Otamendi, there was no David Silva, there was no De Bruyne, there was no Sané starting. And, you know, they still, you know, outplayed us. And, you know, Pep's tactics were spot on. Mm. Their pressing game was brilliant. And, you know, it's Sterling. I mean, wow, the Sterling I saw at the World Cup and the Sterling
and
at City,
Sterling, yeah.
Two different players.
When he's wearing the right shirts, that's what happens.
I think they've got a cloning system at Man City and they send a copy to England and they keep the original Sterling at City, because the Sterling I saw on Sunday versus the Sterling at the World Cup, those are two different players. And you know what, as an Arsenal fan, I'm not upset. You know, obviously new beginnings, it'll take time, but hats off to City.
As far as Liverpool are concerned, I'm sure you're going to give them a solid score.
You know what's so funny is Liverpool won that game 4-0.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they got into third gear.
Yeah.
You know, they were in control. Yes, West Ham had one or two moments. One of them was a gift from the referee.
Mm. How about that offside though, Mika? That set up country,
well, minus goal. You know, two decisions that the Premier League took this season that I find really baffling was one, the decision not to implement VAR.
That's terrible.
Which I think, terrible. You know, from the World Cup, yes, we had some complaints about it, but you know, we saw the value. Maybe, you know, they would have saved us some of the debates.
Yeah.
Yes, I might be pro Liverpool, but I thought one or two of those goals were moments where you could have had a second look.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think West Ham were lucky to leave with only 4-0. It could have been more.
It could definitely have been more, and I think that just the way that Liverpool started, we've got plenty more eyes on the Reds and see exactly how they fare this season. As far as Manchester United are concerned, I'm not going to spend too much time with them. I'm going to give them a good
four and a half out of ten.
There's still plenty to come from the side. It was an unfit Paul Pogba who has to be said.
Why did they rush Pogba back?
I just don't understand. Had he not played, we probably would have lost that game.
Because
I'll be honest.
If you're Mourinho, that's your prized asset in terms of how much you spent. And, you know, lucky the guy didn't pull a hamstring.
Yeah. There was a lot of speculation about, you know, Pogba's commitment and whether or not. So, you know, making him captain, I have to give Mourinho credit. I think it was a nice touch to have him as captain.
And it sounds like he was going to have Luke Shaw.
No, not really.
He had no choice.
You know, we saw that Pogba can be a leader, which some of those videos we saw from the World Cup. If that Pogba
if that
Pogba from the World Cup shows up for Man,
you want your leader with all those hairstyles?
Sometimes the hairstyle.
In trying to move on from this, here's my thoughts, especially what you're saying, Mika, about Paul Pogba. I think if Paul Pogba performs the way he did and comes out you know, the way he performed at the World Cup, he's going to have much more issues with Jose Mourinho, because it's not going to be the way that Mourinho wants him to play. But it's going to be the way that United need him to play. If we are going to do anything this season, we need Paul Pogba to play exactly like he did on Friday, and not the way that Jose Mourinho wants him to play, based on what we saw last season. We're going to go straight into a bit of a hot topic as far as City are concerned. Ola, you did touch on them. Is it one of those cases where we are just like, you know what, they are the team to beat, they will probably walk the league again? Or do you feel that this time...
Let me say this again to our viewers who did not watch Sunday's game. Vincent Kompany, Otamendi, David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Gabriel Jesus, Leroy Sané. That's the core of the starting lineup that won the title last year. Mm. They did not start. And they nearly, you know, took Arsenal to the cleaners.
Okay, is Arsenal...
In saying that, right, it's going to take one heck of an effort for any team to stop City this season based on that. But I know it's just one game.
Yeah.
I know it's just one game. But, you know, I saw everything, the hallmarks of a champion were in that game.
Is Arsenal the right team to measure them as far as that is concerned, though?
I tell you what, that's an interesting question. But, you know, you've got to consider that it's away from home. And the first game of the season, you know, you would assume that both teams would be naive in terms of their tactics. They'd be either conservative or, you know, looking to go on the break. Man City played the Sunday's game as if it was a final. You wouldn't, I mean, if I didn't know that, you know, this was the start of the Premier League season, I would have thought this was a cup game or something, and City were down in aggregate and they needed four goals to win. That's how much they went for the kill almost. And, you know, I don't think anyone's going to stop them again this season. Added to that, Riyad Mahrez, I think they... going for the title.
Well, interesting point.
Here's breaking news. they better watch their back, because Liverpool, you know, that's any team that beat them last year, how many times? Three times? Yeah. And also beat them in preseason.
One of those teams lifted a trophy at the end of the season.
I agree. But here's the real breaking news. Kevin De Bruyne just got injured in training.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you know, the thing about teams like that is, you've got De Bruyne, who's like the engine of the team. It depends on how long he's out and who can replace him effectively.
Because Mika, David Silva, Ilkay Gundogan.
I agree. They're all very good. But you know, the point there is, City has got a very big squad and great quality on their bench and all that. And if you look at their first four or five games, they have what look like winnable. But one thing we've seen with the Premier League is that every time we take things for granted, you see one or two surprises. And you have to look at this season. This season has been one season that teams haven't had enough time to prepare well enough for them. We don't know. Even West Ham that got beat 4-0, we don't know when they settle with the quality that they have in the team, what trouble they can cause. So, you know, sometimes you might want to play the big teams rather than play against those teams early on. But Man City will be difficult to stop. But if Liverpool keep winning, then
in a straight shootout between Liverpool and Manchester City in a 38 game season, do you think Liverpool can keep up with City?
I think they've got the quality. I think they've got the quality, and I think that they also, I mean, the injuries permitting, they will be able to, you know, shuffle their squad comfortably better this season than
last season. But the thing is, Mika, who's your Gabriel Jesus? Who's your Gundogan? Who is your Fernandinho? I'm talking about the players that aren't starting. Who's your Laporte? Because you know Laporte's probably not going to start every game.
Listen, one of the biggest...
You still have Karius.
One of the biggest mistakes people made
in that squad. So,
mistakes people made last season during the semifinals of UEFA Champions League, when the both were paired, was like, you know, most media houses will create a squad of both teams and say, oh, maybe only two. In fact, none of the front three will get into Man City's team. But they got torn apart. You know, so sometimes, you know, it's not this... If there's one thing I love about what Klopp has done, he's building around the team and not around individuals. So if you put the individuals side by side, Man City looks like they're too much for Liverpool. But as a team, this Liverpool team is stronger than they were last season. And I can say boldly that I think Liverpool will give them a run for their money.
Okay. That's a fair point. And before we focus a bit on some of the African players that have come into the Premier League and made an impact based on what we saw over the weekend, I want to quickly touch on the upcoming game, or the next sort of hurdle as far as Arsenal are concerned. They've got another big one. I want to put it to you, Cole. I want to ask, should Arsenal not win this one? What does it mean?
Should they lose this game, right? It means that Arsenal fans need to exercise a great degree of patience, right? Wenger out, right? We got that. And this, Rome wasn't built in a day. Unai Emery is not going to walk into the Premier League like all the other, like the Chelsea managers, for example.
Even Conte struggled.
He walked in,
but Amika, here's the difference though.
Emery only had 50 million budget, right? That's less than what City paid for Mahrez. Whereas when the Chelsea managers who have walked in their first season and won titles, we're talking in the hundreds of millions. So there's no way you can expect a guy who had a shoestring budget in his first season. And then, you know, let's say Chelsea, you know, which they won't beat Arsenal, let's say if they do, right? After two games with a 50 million budget, it's really hard to assess where they're going to be in a season.
They spend more than that. So, my friends, they spend more than that.
No, we spend 50.
Don't try and temper it down. I just feel like Arsenal versus Chelsea, it's a London derby, and we know how those games have gone in the last few years. If there's something that was missing, there were moments where Arsenal tried to press like Unai wanted them to do, and then, you know, it would taper off a bit. I think that he's going to stress a bit more on that going into this game, because Sarri himself is also new and trying to implement something new. So maybe this is a game that, you know, we get to see a bit of that flair. And by the way, I love that kid, Guendouzi.
Yes, that guy. You know what I liked about him the most is that he didn't hide. You know, usually young players in such big games, they're afraid to take the touches.
He wanted the ball.
He put his hand up, give me the ball. I know there's Fernandinho on the field. I know there's Gundogan. I know there's De Bruyne. But I'm going to show them my ability. When a young player puts his hand up like that, you know, that to me just clears the path for him to being a great player. And I'm not saying good. I mean great player.
Okay. Well, he'll be good. He'll be good. I think so.
I'm actually glad that you guys have touched on a player that sort of made an impact on the opening weekend, because we're going to focus on one or two of the African players that have come into the Premier League. Big, demanding league, but they've made a very good start. We're going to start with your new number 8, Amika, at Liverpool. Your thoughts on his performance?
Everybody was waiting for one player this weekend, and that was Naby Keita. Not just Liverpool fans, because, you know, so much had been... You know, Naby Keita, you know, he's been signed over a year ago.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for him. He also wanted to come. And then he's gone and inherited Steven Gerrard's number 8 shirt. Ooh. You know, Liverpool, you don't inherit Gerrard's shirt or...
You don't inherit anything from
number 7.
You don't inherit
number
8.
And number 8, Liverpool didn't have a number 8 last season, which means they kept the shirt for him. And he came in there and he played like a much younger Gerrard, you know, driving from defense into, I mean, converting defense into attack. And, you know, his influence in that opening goal was just shows a bit of the quality that he has. And he does have two things that we didn't see. One, his goal scoring ability. And then secondly, you know, he's not afraid to put in the tackle because he can be very, very physical sometimes when
he looks like a strong boy.
As much as I want to disagree with you, Amika, I'm not going to disagree, right? I think as an African, this was one of, one moment that really, really made me proud, because this is one guy from Africa. I mean, Naby Keita to me came out of nowhere. I mean, in the last 4 or 5 years, somebody had told me that there's a guy called Naby Keita in about 3 or 4 years' time. It's the same, similar with Kante. In about 3 or 4 years' time, would come take the number 8 at Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would have said, you're crazy. And I just love the fact that, you know, we're actually seeing more African players in the Premier League that are not given the donkey work like they used to.
Yeah.
They're given the responsibilities. And the fact that Amika said he's given the number 8 at Liverpool, Gerrard himself gave it to him, shows the value that they've seen this guy. And I must say, he put in quite a performance. I was really impressed by Naby Keita.
And I mean, also he's only been there a short while, but it seems as if, you know, he's plugged right into the team. And, you know, one thing most people don't know, him and Mane both started out their European adventure at the same club.
Oh, yes.
You know, in Salzburg. And then, you know, Red Bull owns the team in Salzburg, and they also own Leipzig. So
yeah,
he came to Salzburg, to Leipzig, whereas Mane went to Southampton, and then they both ended up in the same team. So you find that the, you know, there's this almost telepathic understanding that that they have, which you know, for Africa, if you add Mahrez starting for Man City, and then Salah scoring again,
Eric Bailly at United,
you know, Bailly. So I mean, Bailly, I think, you know, really should
he was fantastic.
That you maybe United shouldn't be making so much noise about,
you know,
trying to
did understand why United were going for a centre-back.
Saying that, you know, I'm hearing Salah, Mane, Keita at Liverpool, and you're saying
Bailly. Are you going to go to Arsenal now?
I'm thinking maybe we, you know, since Lauren, you know, since you know,
Kanu,
yeah,
Adebayo,
maybe Adebayo, you know, maybe it's about time the tour, you know, we missed out on Kolo, on Yaya as well, but we got Kolo. Maybe it's about time Arsenal also start investing in some African players, because that's the steal that people are actually talking about.
Arsenal
again.
They're booing. We, you know, since Abue, since Lauren,
Arsenal got a.
Maybe it's about time Arsenal. They need to send out
their They got one thing from Africa, some money from Rwanda.
Visit Rwanda.
Yeah, we're lacking a few African players, and since they've left, funny enough, since they've left, our African players have left. It's no coincidence that Arsenal haven't been the same.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about those key positions. So,
well, my question, my question is this:
come on.
Why weren't Arsenal or any of the other big teams sort of interested in one Jean-Michel Seri, who's been extremely highly rated, but he's ended up at Fulham Football Club, which is, for me, is a big shock.
For me, it was a shocker because even at the point Barcelona wanted him, I mean,
this highly rated footballer.
For me, I think he's. You know, I'm happy that he's gone to Fulham because just like Shaqiri went to Stoke.
Yeah.
At the point, it was a big club wanting him, and then suddenly, if you have a good manager who's smart, when you know the interest cools, just move the guy closer. Because once you do well in the Premier League, the advantage is that, you know, it'll be like, okay, you won't have problems settling him because you spent a year or two there.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaqiri, he's gone into the Liverpool team. When he came on, if he had more time, maybe, I mean, he almost caught. So you find that, you know, I think that Surrey has, this is going to be like an audition for him, and maybe he ends up in Arsenal. Who knows?
I think the one thing that did hurt Surrey was just, I think, you know, the exposure in the French league, I don't think many people, and I'm going to say possibly the scouts as well. Maybe the teams don't.
No, they're good there. They're good. I mean,
they go there, but in terms of his exposure, I know he was that.
It's across the English channel.
It's across the English channel, but I don't think Nice got that exposure. They didn't go far in the Europa League, you know, as I thought they would have gone. And I think, let's say they'd gone to the final.
We sit in Africa and watch and look out for those teams.
Yeah, we look out
for the Europeans.
But what I'm saying
they have local scouts. You know, otherwise, I mean, Conte was playing in second division.
Mm-hmm.
Even Mahrez was signed for 500,000
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
That's why I'm saying in Seri's case, I think, you know, if Nice had gone maybe to the final of the Europa League, right, I think that would have given him, you know, maybe an extra platform for people to see him. I think Cote d'Ivoire also not going to the World Cup, possibly, not to say it hurt his stock.
I don't agree.
But that exposure.
And this is why. If he was playing for Monaco, see, there are some teams, the players that he has around him, you know, if you find that the entire Monaco team that got as far as semifinals, that team was dismantled. Now they've put together another team together. At Nice, you know, he had Balotelli, he had a few players around him. And so maybe they didn't see too much of, you know, what you get when you're in a team that had, I mean, Mbappe only started playing regularly when Martial went to United. And that's how the Monaco team is. So I think that to a large extent, Seri had been given enough exposure. In fact, at AFCON, I thought he was the best player at AFCON.
Yeah, he was brilliant at AFCON.
I thought he was the best player at AFCON. And I think that we just have to see. Maybe he's got a chance. He could even be bought
in January.
I think that's perhaps the saving grace for him. He's it's not all doom and gloom. He's not all done. He's got an opportunity now to really showcase what he can do in probably the physically most demanding league in Europe. So we wish him all the best. I really do think, you know, he's a fantastic footballer, and I'm really surprised at Fulham, but perhaps there's still more teams that are going to come knocking on that door at Craven Cottage. Just quickly move on and try and wrap up the Premier League and ask one quick question. I'm going to ask you, Emeka, who won the transfer window or the transfer period as far as the English clubs are concerned?
I'm tempted to say Liverpool.
Oh,
for now,
surprise,
because the players that they have brought in, even though at great cost, Alisson looked very comfortable.
He did.
In fact, at the point, you could see that Joe Gomez at centre.
Well, it's not like he had Gabriel Jesus and Aguero there. He's
well, you know, I'm just saying, but I want to see Fulham and Wolves a bit more this season, because I like what they've done. We saw Arsenal, we've seen Chelsea with Jorginho.
I thought Everton did some really good business.
Everton, I think Richarlison.
Mm. Oh, he's
a lot of question marks about whether he will, and then he goes and scores two goals.
He's going to be big. He's going to be really big.
Honestly, guys, Man City had a great transfer window. You're right. They had a great transfer window. They signed a player that they really did not need. It's surplus to already what they have, but it's that surplus that, listen, this guy can also put in one heck of a performance.
And he can win us matches, if not
better than Sterling and Sonny. To me, when you have a winning team, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But the problem with some teams that are always good, the next season they always think of, you know, let's overhaul and sign. That's why Chelsea have never had that consistency of, you know, either winning two in a row, you know, post, I know Mourinho did it, but since then, because they'll win the league, right, next season, get another six more players. Mm-hmm. What City have done is they've kept that core squad and they've added just one piece that is honestly, I think is going to make a huge difference.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I absolutely agree with that. Well, on that note, we're going to move on to...
But I don't agree on you.
Oh, Liverpool. It's not a great time when Liverpool are doing well.
You know what makes this better? Rivalry. This is the Absa Premiership.
That's what they paid the big money for.
We'll move on to South African football, and we're going to start with a man who, well, we thought was going to be playing in the Premier League for this 2018-2019 campaign, but Percy Dow, Ola, has been loaned out.
You know what? To be honest with you guys, I don't like, you know, what's happened with Percy Dow in Brighton, and I'll tell you why, because, you know, I understand, you know, obviously the issues around his visa, that is something he cannot change, but, you know, to take the guy from the top league, you know, one of, you know, if not the top league in Africa, and dump him to the second division in Belgium, at least the first division. But the second division in Belgium, he might as well come down the road and play the, you know, the Saturday soccer teams here, then, if you're going to do that. And look, I don't know the standard of Belgium's second division, but second division is second division.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, what Brighton have done is just an injustice on, you know, Africans. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, to Percy Dow, it's a great offer for him to go play overseas, but they should have struck a deal to find a way. You know, I'm sure they've got partners and friends. Send him to a first division team. Mm. Even if you send him to Cyprus, for goodness sake, it doesn't matter. As long as he's playing first division. They're at second division. He's playing against the sort of guys that literally, once they've clocked off their shifts, they're going to training. That's my worry. And you've taken this guy out of playing from Champions League football here in Africa. He's playing with part-timers. Mm. That, to me, is a big problem.
Percy Tau. He's a full Bafana international, and he'll play every game for South Africa. I think that the move to Brighton is a great move, and you know the situation with the work permits and the system. I think also what they've done by sending him out there is just to give him some kind of soft landing where he he feels himself into European football. Mm. And I reckon there's a possibility that they might call him back by January window. By which time, if he's played a couple more games, because he's been playing all the games for Bafana, which means that maybe he's not too far from the,
but
from,
Amika,
from the quarter.
Reserve team football in England, I'm
no,
sorry,
it's
much better than second division Belgium.
No. You don't.
Where's the club's investment in the player by doing that?
No, I can tell you for a fact that in most of the big major leagues, first and second division, there's good enough quality, and this is a short term. Measure for him. It might look like that on paper, but I think that, you know, for him, because for most players, African players, when they go to Europe, especially when they're young, and Percy is really young, he's not one of those players that, you know, ducked 5 years from his age.
Yeah.
He's a kid that's, you know, just broke into the mainstream here. Yes, he's played at the highest level, but, give him 6 months. I think he'll be back playing for, I love the kid, and I think that he will do well with Brighton if eventually because they're going to need him ultimately.
We certainly do hope that we'll need him, and he does put on the colours of Brighton sooner rather than later. I'm sure he's keeping a close eye on what's happening back home in South Africa. And as far as the Kaizer Chiefs are concerned, not a lot good is happening at this very stage. Coach Giovanni Solinas has come in. We did touch on the fact that he came in very late as far as their preparations preparations were concerned, and already things not quite going according to plan. Ngola hasn't won a league game to date, and based on his words after one of his recent games where things didn't go according to plan, he's finding life rather difficult.
In my opinion, because the Chief today is playing well. Yes, in the end of the game, a little bit fatigue because Barocca has a big advantage. They no played Saturday, and they are fresh. And my player is a little bit fatigued because play every 2 days, travel. So no time for recover, no time for training. But I am happy because the players, he play well, in my opinion. Yes, maybe we can convert some chance, but this is the game.
Those are the words of Giovanni Solinas speaking after yet another stalemate for Amakhosi. Ola, does he have a foot to stand on?
Absolutely not. Listen, I said this, you know, the fact that the guy came into the country the week of before the season starts, he clearly didn't look at the schedule, right? He clearly didn't look at the schedule. Did you not see that, you know, they would have 4 games in 10 days, you know, they're also involved in the MTN8. I mean, this is why, you know, the team also has to plan ahead, because they're in the MTN8 and the season's just started, and surely everybody's had a look at the schedule. And he's coaching Kaizer Chiefs. This is not going to be an easy walk. You know, you're not going to have things your way. Mm. And you see it in the Premier League also, when City have to, they're still in the Carabao Cup, they're still in the FA Cup, they're still Champions League and the league, and they've got that ridiculous fixture, you know, the schedule in December. So when you coach a team like Kaizer Chiefs, well, in all of the competitions, that's what happens, you know. Unfortunately, he has to roll with the punches.
I don't know. I don't know if I do agree with that. And I speak both as a Kaizer Chiefs fan and just as a football, you know, a fan in general. I'm not sure. I think having 4 games in 10 days right at the beginning of the season, I think that's just a bit criminal from whoever sort of organized the schedule, purely based on the fact that it couldn't have even been Mamelodi Sundowns, and would sort of understand because
but
I guess
they not know that. Did they not look at the schedule?
It's one thing knowing, Ola. It's another thing actually playing those games, you know. And maybe fatigue is not the actual term for him to use, but the fact that they are playing 4 games in 10 days, that's a week and a half.
This is why.
I think he probably needed to have acclimatized to speaking Zulu or something. And then maybe we'll understand him better.
Understand him better.
Because what he's trying to say is Italian. I mean, Barocca has advantage, yes, yeah. Because
They
played on Saturday.
Yeah.
But I think Chiefs is a big club, and you expect to have, the reason why you're supposed to have even the bigger squad is to, which Sundowns is always accused of, is that your ability to refresh your team over this game. But having said that, I think that, I don't think they've done so badly. They, I thought You know, remember
they haven't won a game in the league this season.
At the beginning of this before the first game when we all sat together for the previous show.
Yeah.
We had this whole thing about, you know, maybe Sundowns were going to kill them. But I didn't see that on that day. I thought Chiefs did pretty well to come out with the results in that game.
They played well.
And then, you know, they got hammered by Bidvest in the next game. But, you know, Free State Stars were the ones who put them to the sword in the cup last year, and they got a fairly good result. I think that, you know, the energy they put into that game, maybe his excuse. And then the fact that Kaizer Chiefs need to address one problem which they have. They almost do not have a home ground. They like to play everywhere.
But that's their choice though, Amika.
But I must say, they have to.
That is
think they need to review that?
Kaizer Chiefs right now needs to either have their own stadium or they need to make one stadium their home ground and get the players, because, I mean, we were all watching Liverpool last weekend where the commentator said,
Liverpool's back in the discussion.
Raise
your drinks, everyone.
Sorry, I have to use that as an example. They not only did not lose any game, last season, from February till this game against West Ham, they hadn't considered a goal. Sometimes, you get so familiar with your playing environment, your fans, you know, are in certain positions. With Chiefs, they have fans all over the country and they're trying to try and match all of that, but they need to settle down in one place.
See, Amika, they've got fans all over the country. They don't have players all over the country. That's something they should have known at the start of the season.
I'm saying that
get more
when you
players.
Travel over the 10 day period, if you look at where and where they played those games, it's a lot of
traveling.
It's a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying though, Mika, is that the coach cannot then come and complain about the schedule when he looks at, he can't complain to the reporters or to the league.
He has to say something.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that then he has to say something, but it doesn't have to be public because he gets the schedule and, you know, it is what it is at that time. You have time to prepare, plan. Listen, there's a division called the Disky Challenge, right? So the Disky Shield. Get those players if necessary. If necessary.
I hear you, Kola. I really do, but I just think if it's Chiefs, if it's Baroka, if it's Maritzburg United, whoever it is, playing 4 games in 10 days at the beginning of the season is just a lot.
It's a lot.
It's just a lot. I think the issue is
if you look at the league, they played the most games already. Mm. They played 3 games more than any other team, and then they played the cup game.
It's just not at the start of the season. That's just criminal. Just from an organization point of view. But on that note, we are going to take a bit of a short break. On the other side of this, we'll continue to have a chat about what world football looks like at the current moment.
Only SuperSport can put you in a front row seat to the best football leagues this season. Catch every Premier League, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Nations League, ABSA Premiership and La Liga match live. And now, it's the only place to watch every minute of the Serie A on SuperSport 9. Get your front row seat and watch all the football that matters. Only on SuperSport.
Welcome back to Pitch Invasion, and we move along to what's happening as far as European leagues are concerned. And of course, we continue the build-up to seeing exactly what happens when Serie A and La Liga gets underway. And as far as Serie A is concerned, Imika, we are looking forward to one game and one game only, and one man wearing the number 7 shirt for Juventus.
Is it not Empoli versus Cagliari? Not that game?
No. Every game involving Juventus is going to be the star game of the week. La Liga.
It's that simple.
I mean, give me a break. Last week, there was so much noise in the media about Ronaldo scoring the goal. And then I go and watch this game. And
oh,
it's,
my goodness.
It's played in...
The guys that clean his boots after the game.
That game was played in Soweto, I think.
Goodness gracious.
It could have been. It looked like
it was played in those Disky centers. Because you had spectators...
They were right on the field. You know... Oh.
Are you at all surprised with sort of the low-key sort of games and sort of warm-ups that Juve have had since Ronaldo has joined?
You know what? Ronaldo's also put pressure on Juve because, guys, look, at some point, you know, the streak is going to end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think for them, it would really be painful if that streak ended on the year they signed Ronaldo.
No, so no, forget it. It's not going
to... There is a bit of a pressure on
Juventus, they've acted very smartly. They've got Ronaldo. Yes, Higuain's gone to Milan. But, you know, they brought back Bonucci. They've got... Yes, Buffon's gone. But, you know, that team is...
They're still much stronger than anyone else.
And the one team that gave them... last season was...
Roma was up.
No, not Roma. Napoli was. But Sarri is gone. Mm. Now, I think that one team that nobody's talking about is Inter Milan. They've got some really good sign. And they are still looking to get Modric. Mm. To come.
Do you think that will happen though?
I don't know. I mean, Modric is not young. Mm. Maybe Madrid will try and convince him to spend one more year before he goes, but
I think that will be based on who Madrid can get in return. I think it's perhaps too late for them to.
I think Madrid doesn't have too many options in terms of the kind of.
What can happen though, if they do let go of Modric, right? Eriksen is still out there for them.
So, there have been rumored to be looking at him as well.
In terms of just with Serie A, I think Roma also are going to be a serious threat this year. But I think, let's face it, with Juventus, with Serie A, look, I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself. It would be a blow if they don't win Serie A this year with Ronaldo coming in. But I wouldn't be surprised if they rested Ronaldo some games and focused on the Champions League. I think Juventus, I can see that happening.
Personally, I think Juventus will win this league. I think they will be a threat in the Champions League because the one thing that's been missing for them, has been getting extra goals when they need it, and Ronaldo's going to score.
And you speak about a blow. Imagine if they do go on and win the Champions League the year that Buffon finally decides to play. That would be so terrible.
But it happened to Michael Owen. Michael Owen leaves Liverpool and goes to Real Madrid, Liverpool wins the Champions League with a team that's supposed to be so weak.
I'm sure Buffon will be watching with very close attention. But La Liga, hola, that's kicking off as well. Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid have gone and made Antoine Griezmann their skipper, which is quite surprising.
Yes, it seems like every player that you know could leave. You know, just make them captain, Man United.
Why not?
Look, it's going to be an interesting season this year. Obviously, no Ronaldo. I don't know if that's going to water down El Clasico, but... Look, there were El Clasicos before Messi and Ronaldo. Yeah. It's going to happen for the next 100 years. So that's going to be interesting. But for me, I think, they'll both have routine wins this weekend. They're both playing at home. It's Atletico Madrid, though, who are playing Valencia away at the Mestalla. So that's going to be quite tricky. So I think it's going to be a good season. And, I still fancy Barca. I think Atletico will give them a real good push this year.
More than Real.
Both Barcelona and Real Madrid this season almost in transition because, for the first time in a long while, Barcelona have played without Iniesta. Although they've got Coutinho who hopefully will fill in that
gap. The heir apparent.
I don't know if they'll keep Dembele.
I saw the report saying
that he's going nowhere. After his goal on the Super Cup.
So it might be one of those seasons where Atletico finally...
I think also based on the what I perceive to be a season that is going to be really difficult for Luis Suarez as far as his overall contribution to the team is concerned, I think Dembele is going to become even more important as far as helping Messi up front there. What I did see though is that Arta is going to do what I think is going to...
What did you say about Suarez?
I think he's... This is the year where his numbers aren't... His numbers are probably still going to be great, but his contribution to the team...
Suarez will score. Suarez...
And that's the thing. That's the thing about scoring is... Do you want Suarez to just be there to score or do you want him to contribute to front three?
He's a more different player when he plays for Barcelona because... I think when Neymar left,
does this always get back to Liverpool?
Hey.
Him and Messi got together. Look, I shouldn't actually, like Suarez and Coutinho for the way they left, but I must say that at Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Suarez settled in quite nicely there.
I'm saying, like, keep an eye on Suarez. I don't think his performance is going to be as great.
Well,
as
I'll remind
it
you.
Has been.
When he scores a hat-trick,
you know,
this weekend.
I know you will remind me. It's okay. Okay, moving on to, from Suarez to, Lionel Messi. As far as his international career is concerned, it seems it's up in limbo at the moment. He's decided to take a break. I'm not sure what that means, Nola.
Look, you know, I know everybody wants a 1986 in Messi somewhere, you know, a Maradona 86. And guys, it's not going to happen. Not in this day and age, at least, you know. I think, you know, you see it all the time in rugby and in cricket. You know, these players sometimes take sabbaticals either from tests or ODIs and they come back in more important series. And I think it's the same for Messi. There are no real international, you know, matches coming up now. You know, there'll be a few friendlies and maybe, you know, Copa America qualifiers and so forth coming up. But, you know, why would he get himself involved in those matches that really don't mean much to his career right now? And plus, you know, I think he's earned his stripes to say, guys, you know what, let me sit this one out, let me come here, you know, and I don't think it's a big deal.
The president of Argentina will go and visit him and change his mind.
I was about to say, I wonder how the Argentine public is going to take that, but it's okay, we move on to more retirement news and a bit of breaking news as far as Victor Moses is concerned, Emeka.
I think it's a big surprise for me, because I think that Victor Moses has become, you know, one of the key men. I think probably natural leader to become maybe the next captain after John Obi Mikel for Nigeria. And he's still young. I kind of feel that ultimately when the chips are down, the Nigerian coach or whoever will go and come is when he'll change his mind. Maybe what he probably might bargain at the time to say, okay, I let me play big tournaments and not get involved in every single game.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether he's there or not, Nigeria has always got, you know, young talent coming through.
Yeah.
And the team will get along, but definitely I think that he will change his mind.
You see,
young.
That's, an interesting point you brought up, because that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, with the Nigerian squad being so young, it was automatic that, you know, Victor Moses should be captain to lead those guys. And for him to retire now, it's a bit of a shock, because, you know, I'm trying to understand, you know, obviously, you know, with African players and the AFCON thing always is an issue with European clubs.
But they moved the calendar to...
It suits them now. So it's not like he had that to think about in his mind if it's going to affect, you know, his place in the team. So
do you think it's
a shock. I'm not understanding it.
Do you think, though, that the new coach, you know,
they still have the same coach.
Change of... I'm talking about at Chelsea, that now having to try and get into the good books and impress a new coach, having worked so hard, let's be honest, to get into Conte's good books. Do you think that might have played a role?
It's possible, you know. I don't want to rule it out, but, you know, it is a shocker, because, I mean, the guy, you know, literally would be walking in as the captain if Nigeria played tomorrow. Mm. And, you know, he's also been, in terms of just African football as well, he's also another shining example of, you know, the products that we have. And you want to see those products in international football. I mean, you saw Drogba, he played till his last drop of sweat that he could, you know, produce a good performance for Cote d'Ivoire. And he played until the end. And I would have liked to have seen Victor Moses see it through and just play till the end. And I think it's really a shock to me. And quite sad, in fact, for Africa, not just for Nigeria.
I think just like Messi, we haven't had the last of him. He's gonna come back, I think so.
Well, I certainly hope so, for the Super Eagles' sake. Let's move on to yet another issue involving another African player. Only about 3 months ago now, Real Madrid and Liverpool were involved in that Champions League final, Madrid winning. But there was an incident that left a very bitter taste in Liverpool's mouths, and I'm sure the African continent as a whole as well. Sergio Ramos and that tackle on Mohamed Salah. Ramos and Klopp still going on to this day about that moment. Your thoughts on that?
I just think that Sergio Ramos should not be saying anything about that incident because it was one really dark moment. And I'm not saying that just for Liverpool's sake, but I mean, this cost
you
Egypt.
Not?
It cost Egypt in the World Cup. People have argued that it wasn't intentional, but we know Sergio Ramos plays on the edge all the time, and if he has a chance to to take someone out, he'll do it.
That's my stance.
And, you know, given what has happened, he's won the title, you know, he should just keep quiet and let this go.
Hola.
Look, I think, you know, I hear where you're coming from, Amika, but you know what? I think, you know what? This is the one side of football that, you know, it just brings color to, you know, football. This is the sort of drama, the sort of hype that also adds a bit of, excitement to it. You know, it's always nice to see, you know, in boxing, you know, the pre-fight when the boxers go toe to toe and, you know, the bravado and so forth. And I think I don't have a problem with them squaring off and, you know, saying whatever they feel like saying to each other. I think it's quite funny, some of it. And, you know, obviously, you know, what wasn't funny was the play on Salah, because you know, that, as Amika said, didn't just cost Liverpool, you know, it also cost Egypt in some way. But in terms of Klopp and Ramos, hey, you know, let them get it on. I don't have a problem with it.
Look, I have to agree. I definitely don't think that was a mistake. I don't think it was, knowing Sergio Ramos, I think there's definitely, you know, some premeditation as far as that challenge on Salah was concerned. And speaking of Mohamed Salah, the new Premier League season is up and running, and Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, Richarlison, maybe Paul Pogba, Luke Shaw, these are just some of the players that, as far as fantasy Premier League was concerned, really stood out. Any other players that you guys want to add into that list?
Hey, you know, I look like a fool now because I said get away from Pogba. But if anyone can tell me that Pogba was going to come and start, having not played a lick of preseason,
I warned you.
He did.
I warned you. And I think
give a warning.
For me, N'Golo Kante scoring.
Ah, yes.
And scoring, you know, I mean,
and that's a clean sheet as well.
Yes. Yeah. And then how about Daniel Sturridge? If anybody took a gamble on him.
No, what? You
would have. If anybody took a gamble on Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah, nobody would. Did.
And then, look, Richarlison for me. I think that's the one. I saw a few people with Richarlison on fantasy, and I was surprised.
I honestly think he's going to do a lot of good things for Everton. I really do. And if you do have him,
you know, the one player, you know, the one player that people need to look out for, I think Ruben Neves.
Yes. You know, I went for Diego Jota instead of Ruben Neves.
Yeah.
It was a toss-up between the two. And I went for Jota instead, and man, I
Wilfred Saha has signed for
Crystal Palace.
Again. And,
I saw that. 2023. I'm not sure it's going to be there that long.
Well, look,
I think that's more for Palace, for them, more than when he needs to get signed somewhere else.
I don't know if, because he seems very happy there, because when he's played his best football, when he's been at Palace, his adventure to United was a total disaster. So you find that, you know, he's happy there. He grew up there, and you know, if you know where Crystal Palace is located in London, it's in an area where there's, I mean, a lot of these black kids come through that whole system, and pretty much, you know, they did some analysis of games that they played with or without him, and the difference was just so much. And he showed just his quality again last weekend.
I have him on my fantasy. Now, I just want that to be clear. I have Zaha on my fantasy.
Yeah.
He's one of those really sort of good bargain buys.
Bargain.
Zaha, the Richarlisons, you, those are the type of players you keep in your team behind the Harry Kane's and the Sergio Aguero.
And in terms of prediction, you know, I got involved in the prediction, and I always like to go for the underdogs. Apart from Liverpool, all the other ones, I wanted the other big teams to lose. And
of course you did.
They all won.
We're not surprised.
No, but there was another big team that lost as well. I mean, come on.
No, I don't think
not
so.
All the big teams.
No, I think all the big teams won.
I actually thought Arsenal would win that game. Surprise.
How? On based on what?
Well, you know, when it comes to prediction, I'm a different animal.
You can predict, but sometimes you don't predict based on thinking they will win.
No, I make my predictions usually by going for the teams that you expect to lose to win. That's what I do.
Okay. Okay. Well, it went horribly wrong for me as far as the Arsenal result was concerned. But that's pretty much all we do have for you on the second episode of Pitch Invasion. And I'm sure you're looking forward to all the action that will be kicking off in the next couple of days, including, of course, La Liga and Serie A also will be getting underway for the 2018-2019 season. But from myself, Loazizi Kubu.
Hola, Makwaza.
Never walk alone.
That is not your name. Liverpool fans, goodness. Do not want a world where Liverpool win the league. But that's pretty much all we do have for you. Until next time, I leave you in the immortal words of coach Tobejane: football will kill you a real death. Cheers for now.